way you look. Please don't get me mistook. I'm sick of playing it by the books. I think we should get a room. You straight out of magazine. Feel things I ain't ever felt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of the EIF Show. I'm Mark Geshwin, along with my co-host, Tomas Horsell, and you probably are going to recognize our voices from the podcast that we do every so often, but we decided that we should branch out and talk about a little bit more topics rather than just focused on one topic per podcast, and we thought we'd put it into a little bit of a show format with some segments as we talk about lots of things in the world of football slash soccer. So, Tomas, the controversy of the day has to be VAR, video assistant replay. We saw it in use today in the Confederations Cup in both games, and with, to be honest, it worked. The decisions in the end were correct, but it was not without its controversy, as it took a little bit of time to really get sorted. There was a little bit of confusion on the Portugal goal that was disallowed because the offside came well before the goal itself. There was also issues with the fact that Portugal's second goal by Cedric was scored with no controversy whatsoever, and for some reason they decided to make their little signal, like NFL football referees, to go up to the booth to review it for no apparent reason, so it really stopped the flow of the game. It was quite bizarre. In the end, I thought it was at least successful because it made the correct decisions, but not everyone liked it. Tomas, what'd you think about it?
You know, I'm just wishing that it was around back in 2009 when Tom Henning Ovrebo robbed Chelsea of a final spot, you know, the famous game at the Bridge. But let's not get into that one, Mark. I think for me it was a success. I think it's always good to get the decisions right. And you see people saying, oh, it's taken away from the human factor of the game. That's why we love the game. Do you really love that your team might get screwed by some horrible decision? I don't. So for me, I'm all for this. What I'm not really in favor of, and like you mentioned, was when they decided to review that second goal. And, it, you know, at the end, what was the need for that? Absolutely nothing. So if they're going to start overusing it, I do have a problem. But to just use it in general, I don't see what's wrong. You know, we already have goal line technology, which finally, you know, was introduced after so, so long. Should have been introduced years ago. And now we have this. So I don't see anything wrong with it. I see something wrong with people overusing it, such as what we saw today in one of the instances. But what I do like is how long it takes. You know, FIFA claimed it was going to take 20 seconds only. I don't think that's ever really going to be possible unless it's such a blatant call that they would just look at it and say, you know, goal, no goal, offside, or whatever. But I was looking at the time. The first one that they had, the one that they ruled off, the Portugal goal, that Pepe was offside, that took 42 seconds, fairly fast. The one of Cedric, that shouldn't have happened in the first place, I think it was like a minute and like a few seconds, like under 110, also very fast. I forget the Chile one, but also did not take long. And honestly, that was a very hard call, the type of call that really, if you just see with your blind eye, you know, very rarely will you get that right if you're the linesman every single time. And so I think it brings a nice element to the game. Maybe going forward, there should be some provisions to it, such as, you know, in the NFL, you have how many challenges you can have in a game. Maybe you could have something like that of soccer. Or are you going to say every goal, every decision that leads to a goal is going to be reviewed? So I think that's something moving forward. But as a start, perfect for FIFA, perfect for football fans. And for people complaining, like I said, do you really want your team to get screwed by a horrible decision? I've seen that happen too many times to me, to my team. So for me, I'm all for this, Mark.
I mean, for me, you brought up your boy Ovrebo, Chelsea, Barcelona. Love that man. Led to Messi's first Champions League title. So a little applause for that guy. Now, of course, you want to bring this back. As you said, you always want to get the decisions right. The one that sticks in my mind, Germany handball 2002 against U.S. Come on. You get that back, U.S. are winning that World Cup with ease. But I completely agree with you, but my biggest concern with VAR is... So the thing is that the decisions basically have to have not been called is the thing for them to work. So for instance, the gray area gets into it when, let's say, Alexis Sanchez gets slipped through on a breakaway and the flag goes up immediately and they call it. Now, if he's 2 yards onside and he's running clean through and he's most likely going to score, VAR doesn't really help you there, because what are you supposed to do? Resend the call and give, you know, give Chile a breakaway? You know, they, you give them a drop ball and they have a breakaway on goal. So that's where it's going to get a little iffy, because imagine in a game, you know, the Eduardo Vargas goal is honestly a great example of this. I mean, Tomas, as you said, that decision is, that was like, that's a fingernail. I mean, that is so, so, so tight. And if that had gone uncalled, no one is blaming the linesman there. So imagine that goal gets disallowed for Chile. They end up, you know, conceding. They go down 1-0. And then all of a sudden, that's exact same scenario I said happens, where Alexis Sanchez is running clean through on goal. He was a good yard onside, but the referee blew his whistle and called it offside. VAR doesn't help you there, because what you, you can't go back and make the call. So it almost would be the most beneficial to almost not even have linesmen, because then if you just let every single play develop out till to its completion, and then you can make the decision and say, okay, this was onside, this was offside, and at least then you would always get the correct decision. So that's honestly the weirdest thing. And for me, I think the where this should be going, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I almost think you should get rid of linesmen in general. I think it's so easy, especially, I mean, with those lines that they put on the field when you have it on the camera, it's so easy to see if someone's offside or onside, and in a second, you can just, you get the picture of it, you know immediately. You should almost just have four guys constantly monitoring the line on a camera somewhere else, on a monitor somewhere else, headset in their ear. If they see it, they go, hey, ref, main ref, it's offside, onside, call it, don't call it. I don't know if that's how you see it, but I almost see VAR going in that direction, because yes, it works if the ref doesn't call it offside and then the play develops to its completion. But if they blow the whistle right away and they get it wrong, then they can still get a lot of decisions wrong, and that can equally affect games.
Yeah, for me it's tough, Mark, because yeah, like you said, how far do you go with this VAR until you say it's too much? I think for me that would be fine, but like I was saying earlier, you can't have decisions take too long or for it to happen too often. I think it's tricky with the offside example, because what are you going to do every single time there's a slightly contentious offside call? You're going to stop the game and then ask the booth upstairs to review it, pretty much. It's tricky for me. So I don't know if that's a solution. I don't think that should be a solution for now, because it's just starting out. I think that's maybe more down the line. What I do like, though, is the fact that FIFA have shown that it can be fast. And after all, if it can be fast, why not use it? Issue here, though, Mark, for me is a lot of people say it takes the essence out of the game. Like I said, I'd rather have the correct call. But if you start using it every single contentious play that there might be, doesn't it just stop the game too much? Isn't that what people love about soccer, that it's 45-minute halves with barely any, you know, stoppage in action, rather than when you watch, say, the NBA, where you have 50 timeouts in the last 2 minutes, or the NFL, where you stop the play, you know, the clock all the time as well? Wouldn't that kind of take something away from the game, even though we're getting the right decisions? Don't get me wrong, I want the right decisions, but I think there should be a limit to how much we use VAR. And I think for now, I don't think there's a need to use it any further. Let's see how it works out for, say, a season, a couple seasons. And then moving forward, then we can say, you know, get rid of linesmen, get rid of, you know, maybe the referee behind the goal, who, to me, to this day, really almost never does anything. So that guy's useless anyway. But for now, I think it's fine, Mark.
And it's weird, too, because it's how far do you go back in the play? For instance, the Portugal goal today, they called the offside on the initial free kick that Ronaldo took when it got sent back in. And then it came back out to Ronaldo, who smashed it off the crossbar, came out to whoever hit it, Andre Gomez or whatever, sends it back in, ball goes in the net, and then they come all the way back and they call the offside on that, on a play that really was 2 to 3 plays before the, and you know, the offside action, I mean before the goal action took place. So it's, you know, how far do you go back? Do you go back even further than that if there's a, if the ball went out for a goal kick and it was, should have been a corner kick, you know, a couple like 45 seconds before a goal was scored? So it's a bit odd, and it's not a perfect science, but I agree with you. I'm a fan of it so far, and as long as the correct decisions are being made, which every single time they used it, they were correct, it's a success for me.
Likewise over here, Mark. Wouldn't say a resounding success, but a good start.
Yeah, and the amount of weird criticism it's been getting is a little off base for me, but hey, we'll see how it goes later on in the tournament.
Hi, everyone. This is Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Everything is Football. Don't go away.
So the next little segment we're going to get into is what everyone loves to talk about during the silly season, transfer rumors. So basically what we're going to be doing, bringing up a few of the more intriguing transfer rumors and give our prediction on what's going to happen. Red light if there's no chance this transfer happens. Green light if we think it is indeed going to happen. So the first one, the blockbuster move, Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, he has to match Messi with everything, Tomas, and he decided to get into tax evading himself. Couldn't let Messi be the only one. And with that, he's been a little upset. He's been a little cranky, Mr. CR7. And he says that he wants to leave Real Madrid, which just, as always, sparked the rumors that Manchester United want him back. And I mean, honestly, Tomas, you talk to any Man United fan, and as far as they're concerned, Ronaldo is simply just on loan. I can tell you that every single time there is anything about Ronaldo, Ronaldo scores a goal. You have every Man United fan in our mentions being, talking about how great Cristiano Ronaldo is as if he's still their player. So, maybe their hope and maybe their incredible love for Cristiano Ronaldo may finally be worthwhile, because it seems as though if there's any place he's going to go, it might be Man U.
It's a red light, Mark. It's a red light. He's not going to Man U. Come on. And speaking of the, one-upping Messi, what I find funny is in Spain, apparently, I was reading, I think if you get a prison sentence under 2 years or 24 months, you don't actually have to go to jail to serve it, such as what happened with Messi. I think he got 21. I wouldn't be surprised if Ronaldo got like 21 and a half just to say he still beat Messi there. But come on. I mean, he's just playing people here. Who actually believes this? Now I saw a new report coming from Sky Sports today. Oh, Ronaldo apparently very unhappy around Madrid, inching for a United move. Really, you know what he's doing? He's trying to cover up the amount of money he's going to have to pay for the taxes. He's going to get Real Madrid to give him a nice new contract, which, by the way, he got a new one in November. But, of course, Messi got a new one, makes more money than him now. So Ronaldo needs to come back, make more money than Messi. And what better way to pay off 14 to, I think it was like 16, 20 million euros that he owes in taxes? Well, get a new contract, and basically Real Madrid will pay for it. So red light for me. It would be interesting to see him back in the Prem. It would be interesting to see how much he would go for, because that's a big topic of debate as well. How much is he worth today? But it's a red light, Mark.
And it is a red light for me as well, Tomas, because quite simply, the only thing you need to know about Ronaldo is that this man is obsessed with titles, and more importantly, he's obsessed with himself. And this man wants to be in a position where he can play for the next 5 or so years and continue to dominate the headlines, scoring 40, 30, 50, 60 goals a season, winning Champions Leagues, and of course, winning the prize most coveted to him, the Ballon d'Or. So why would he leave the best team on earth to go to Manchester United, which is, they're not even the favorites to win the Premier League? If he joined, maybe they would be, but I can tell you that they're not winning the Champions League with him or without him. So it's an obvious red
light. He was probably impressed by their treble. I must say, they had quite the treble last season. So, who knows? That might be a pull.
Fair enough. The next one we'll go to is another interesting one, is Marco Verratti to Barcelona. Now, these rumors have always sort of been there. Verratti, the way he plays, everyone likes to call him, the new Xavi or whatever, the Italian Xavi. And so naturally, been continually linked to Barcelona, but it's never materialized because Barcelona like to opt for more technical players like Andre Gomez. So that's why, Marco Verratti never got his move. But now we're seeing a little bit of the rumors heating back up again. He seems unhappy at PSG. They continue to fail in the Champions League, especially after that ridiculous capitulation to Barcelona. And then, the paparazzi out there spotted that Verratti and Messi were at the same restaurant in Ibiza. Typical Messi, it's Messi FC. He's got to do the transfers. He's got to score all the goals. He's got to do it all. So maybe he's swaying. He got in the ear of Verratti and is saying, come with us and we can test Real Madrid for Champions Leagues, much better than Paris, and people will treat you as one of the best midfielders in the world, which he quite rightly should be. So for me, it's I'm actually going to say I really, really, really want this transfer to happen. But this answer might surprise you, Tomas. It is a 100% red light for me, simply because Barcelona's board is going to opt for, I don't even know, this might be even too generous for them. I was going to say Bruno Soriano from Villarreal, but that would honestly be a step up from Andre Gomez. So I would take Bruno Soriano, but it's a red light for me.
Yeah, for me, what's interesting about Verratti, we saw some people on Twitter talking about him the other day, and I saw someone compare him. I'm not going to name who it was, but someone comparing him to John Obi Mikel. Come on. All right, John Obi Mikel. Verratti is an incredible player. Like you said, Mark, I think he's, I wouldn't say outgrown PSG. You know, they're a very big club, obviously, but I think it's run its course there. Will he leave PSG this summer? I think he will. Will it be to Barca? Like you said, if that board got something right for once, I'd be shocked. So I'm going to say green light to Verratti leaving. I'm going to say red light to him going to Barcelona, simply because they can't get anything right there.
That's fair enough. So the next one is one that has people up in arms. It has the AC Milan fans up in arms. Gigi Donnarumma deciding to not extend his contract, basically guaranteeing that he's going to be leaving AC Milan, most likely to Real Madrid, but it's not guaranteed. So we'll say it really is. It's automatically a green light that he's leaving, but to where is the question? Most likely Real Madrid, but, you know, maybe Zidane has said over and over he wants to keep Keylor Navas. Apparently he said, you know, we don't want to go after David De Gea. He told Uncle Flo that keep Navas, don't do what you always do, which is sell the team that just won and bring in, you know, some hot shot who might disrupt the flow, which is something that he did with Di Maria in 2014 and bringing in James. So for you, we know Donnarumma is leaving, whether it's this season or next season, to Madrid, yes or no?
I think yes. I think it's a green light here, Mark. As the Milan fans call him now, Gigi Donnarumma. I think he might make the move this season, because I can't see him staying Milan for another season. The way it's so toxic right now, how is the man possibly going to play week in, week out with those ultras in Italy throwing dollar bills at him, screaming into his ear every week, calling him a merchant? So I say green light. I don't see why Zidane would want to keep Kaylor over someone like Donnarumma. You say it's better for, you know, for the stability of the squad. I don't buy that. I think if you get Donnarumma, I don't care if you pay 100 million. It's a goalkeeper that you're going to have for the next 18, 20 years starting for you. He's already proven that he's world class. Why would you not get this man? It's set up for a fairy tale story for Madrid. And of course, Florentino Perez just got reelected for another 4 years. So, you know what that means, Mark? He will want to make a big splash. And I think he'll make a couple with this and with Kylian Mbappe.
And that's nice, because that's exactly where we're going to next. But before that, I'm just going to say yes, 100% green light. Donnarumma is going to Real Madrid. I would be stunned if he goes anywhere else, whether it's this season or next season. It would be a little sad if he had to rot on the bench for a full year, if that's what Montella decides to do. We'll see how that plays out. But I actually just want to come on a little tangent. I've already said I think he'll go. A little tangent just in defense of Donnarumma, because I've seen him get so much criticism. The Gigi Donnarumma nickname is a little, again, I think it's off base, because it's not about the money. It's clear that it's not about the money. AC Milan offered him a ridiculous salary. They've been spending so much money this summer. So money was definitely no option here. I think they were going to basically pay as much as it took to keep him. I just think he wants to play for a better team, and he wants to win Champions Leagues, and he wants to become more of a legend. And some people like to do that and stay at their club, like Totti or whoever it might be. And other players want to say, hey, I can win Champions Leagues for the next decade if I go to Real Madrid, and I can contend every single year, and I can be at the biggest club on earth. How can you really criticize that? Yes, if it was me, I probably would have stayed 1 to 2 more years, just so you can guarantee yourself to start for another 1 to 2 more years, and then leave once maybe Navas starts making a couple more mistakes, and, you know, Florentino Perez is a little less convinced with Navas, then you go after Donnarumma, because then he can slide in and be a guaranteed starter. But after all the hate he's been getting, I thought, you know, it's in defense of him. It's not about the money. He simply wants to go to a better team and have a better prospect of winning. So as you said, you just brought it up, Kylian Mbappe. That's where we're going to go next. He is probably the biggest transfer. Until Ronaldo came up, he was the biggest transfer target of the summer. And I think with good reason. Tomas, we talk about this all the time, and it might be out there, but I genuinely do believe that at the end of 2017, depending on how his next fall 2017 goes, whether that's with Madrid, Arsenal, Monaco, whoever it might be, should probably finish in the top five in the Ballon d'Or. I genuinely think in 2017, who can you really name that's been better than him? Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, maybe, you know, a Modric, a Marcelo, a Cruz, one of those guys. But I think it's quite evident that he is not just a talented player. He is a world-class player right now. And I think that he simply should get the respect that he deserves. Is he going to be going to Real Madrid? I give it a green light. I think he's going to go this summer. I don't see him going anywhere else. Why would he go to any other club? Because for me at this point, going anywhere else bar Real Madrid or Barcelona is not really a step up for Monaco. They just made the semifinal of the Champions League. They're going to be in it again. They won the league title. So why would he go to a place like Arsenal? That's a massive step down. Just so we can use that as a stepping stone to go to Real Madrid or Barcelona in 2-3 more years. Because I think he's good enough to... I think he could go into either of those teams and start immediately and would score 30-plus goals. So green light for me, and I am well on the Kylian Mbappe train. If I'm Real Madrid, I am shelling out $150 million for him, Donnarumma, and you are set with that. You don't need to make another signing for the next 3 years.
Like I said before, Mark, for me it's a green light as well. He's such a Real Madrid player, and you know Ousmane Dembele should be such a Barcelona player, but again, they'll probably not get Ousmane. He'll probably go somewhere else. I think for me, Mbappe is suited to for this Madrid team perfectly. He idolizes Cristiano Ronaldo. Like you said, Madrid, and we've mentioned this in past podcasts, it's, can they get any stronger? And you know, scarily enough, they can. And with these two signings, not only are they getting world-class players, they're getting world-class players who are ready to play, for, you know, with the goalkeeper, with Donnarumma for the next 18, 20 years, with Mbappe for, you know, next 14, 15 years at a world-class level. So Madrid are set. This is a green a light as you can, Mark. I'd just speed right through this light. It is 100% set for Real Madrid.
And so the last one we'll talk about quickly is a rumor that just came up this week, actually, and it has come in super hot. Dani Alves to Manchester City for a measly 5 million euros is what we've been hearing. Now, it would make sense. Pep loves his fullbacks to be incredibly technical and be able to play. They have a history together. Dani Alves just came out in an article on the Players Tribune and in an interview that you heard on Brazilian TV where he was just gushing about Pep, the genius. He clearly loves him. It seems like a match made in heaven. Will it happen?
It's such a green light as well. This is another green light, Mark. But for me, what's surprising about this one is the fee. You know, 5 million euros or pounds, whatever it is. That is such a bargain. I don't care if he's 34. We saw what the man can do, especially against Monaco in both legs. That interview you mentioned here in Brazilian TV at Esporte Interativo was a brilliant interview. And my favorite quote really was the one where he mentions a bunch of his former Barcelona teammates. He says, you know, Xavi's a maestro, Messi's a genius, Iniesta's a gentleman, Puyol is a warrior, and Pep Guardiola is the Einstein of football. So does he admire Pep? I don't think there's any question to that. Would he fit in well in Pep's system? Of course. I mean, he did for so long at Barcelona. But 5 million, how are other clubs not going for this? I mean, I would pay 15 just to upstage this transfer. 5 million? Give me a break. What are these clubs doing sitting around just saying, Pep, you know, take more players. You've already taken like 50 this summer. Take another one. You know, why not?
As you said, green light for me. It's a no-brainer. And again, the fee here, as you keep talking about, is ridiculous. You look at guys like Higuain, that's going for 90 million. Who's going to give you, you know, with his, especially with his physique, which we love to joke about all the time, that man has given you what, 2-3 years at a top level where he'll score? Yeah, he'll score 20 to 30 Serie A goals, as we saw, is not good enough to lead you to a Champions League title. And then you can go out and get Dani Alves for what, maybe the similar amount of time? He's in better shape than a 29-year-old Higuain at 34. I mean, so it's like, why would you not get that for 2-3 more years, especially for 5 million euros, which in this market is ridiculous. I mean, the one I love pointing to all the time is Jeffrey Schlupp going to Crystal Palace for what, 13 million euros? I mean, it's like that man won't give you a good season ever. So why not spend 5 million, even if Dani Alves is going to give you one good season? Why would you not do that? So it's an easy green light for me. And that wraps up that segment where we move into stoppage time, where we each give our last little take of the day, depending on whatever we're feeling. So Tomas, I'll give it to you first because you're a very passionate man, and I know you're a little upset with your team. Talk to us about that.
A little upset doesn't really describe how I feel right now about the Chelsea board, about the Chelsea situation. We had a brilliant season. We won the league. In a very disappointing fashion with, you know, that disaster against Arsenal in that FA Cup final, which I've said was a miracle that it was only 2-1. But for me, Mark, this summer is reminiscent of that summer after we won the league with Jose and then we finished in 10th place. I've been reading that we're waiting for the Nike sponsorship deal to kick in July 1st and we'll announce a big signing. And guess what? That big signing seems to be Romelu Lukaku for 80 million or 100 million pounds. So please, you know, I hope this Adidas deal never runs out. I hope this goes on for 50 years if we're going to get Romelu Lukaku for that much money. And, you know, we were going to get Dani Alves. No, that's not happening anymore. Because why? Because we're going to go for Bakayoko's on midfield, a player who we're rumored to be ready to spend 40 million pounds for. How in the world are we going to spend 40 million for Bakayoko? One, he's not worth that. Two, we 100% do not need someone like Bakayoko. You know, the only positive news I see out of all this is we're going for Alexandro for left wing back to add a little, you know, competition for Alonso. Obviously, you'd assume that Sandro would be the starter if he came in. He's a better player than Alonso. Alonso would be a good backup, good for his smaller games. But what is this board doing? You know, Conte messed up. He should not have sent the text message to Diego Costa. Should have done it over the phone, should have consulted with the board before he did that. And I understand why the board are angry. You know, I'm sure they're angry as well, the fact that we're going to get rid of Diego Costa, who, in my opinion, is miles better than Lukaku, miles better than Morata, and miles better than anyone we could get in this transfer market, bar maybe Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who it seems PSG are easing off their interest in him. But he's 29 as well, a little older than Diego. So, really, we're downgrading there. We're downgrading so many positions, it seems. And for the board to all of a sudden lose faith in Conte because of one mistake, I'd say it's disappointing. You know, this smells of Michael Manalo trying to put his foothold again in Chelsea transfer business as the technical director. Doesn't know what he's doing. Has never known what he's doing, starting from when we first brought – I don't even want to get into Manalo right now. But for me, have faith in Conte. Have faith in his signings. I hope he's not the one going for Lukaku and Bakayoko. But if he is – we have to trust the manager. Everything he did last season seemed to work out. I don't know how we're not going to give him money or not back his transfers. We sold Oscar to China for so much money. We need upgrades if we're going to win the Champions League if we're going to compete for the Champions League, if we're going to compete and try to retain our title in the Premier League. Because right now it doesn't seem like we're even going to finish in the top five the way this is going. I'm feeling very pessimistic, Mark, and I hope this board wakes up, backs Antonio, and really gives the fans something they want. We have the money. We have the manager. Let's get it right for once. Let's please get it right.
Now, I was going to talk about the Confederations Cup and how much of a joke I think it is and the fact that it's such a money-making scheme and these players deserve rest. But I would like to think that the games will improve from this point on and maybe it'll give us a little bit of, you know, we enjoy all types of soccer here, so at least it gives us some sort of football over the summer. So I'm not going to talk about that until at least the end of the tournament, where hopefully it does better than I think it will. And I'm going to talk about something, Tomas, that I know you will for sure agree with, which is the stupidity of the international managers. I mean, these guys, how on earth do they get these jobs? And the thing that really set me off today, Fernando Santos. Everyone's going to say, oh, he won Euro 2016. He can do what he wants. He knows better than you. Okay, so he qualified, he advanced out of that group with Iceland, Hungary, Austria, probably the worst group in the history of the Euros, in third place because of that new rule, three draws, squeaks through with that third place on goal difference, beats Croatia, in the 117th minute after they were pretty much dominated all game long, beats Poland on penalty kicks, Poland, penalty kicks, then goes on and beats the mighty Wales, 2-0, fair enough. Wales, decent team. And then, probably the luckiest final win ever, beating France 1-0 in the 107th minute. Ed Dare, who couldn't score a single, I don't even know if he had a shot on target for Swansea that season, scores a wonder goal in the 107th minute to win this incredibly unlikely tournament. As far as I'm concerned, the luckiest win, Champions League, European Championship, World Cup that there's ever been. So he has nothing here. He won that. Great. Applaud. It does not mean that he knows what he's doing, because let's just put it this way, Tomas. He played Andre Gomez. I'm going to say it three times. Andre Gomez, a fourth time. Nani, Ricardo Quaresma, instead of Bernardo Silva. And there are more that deserve to play. Andre Silva, Gelson Martins. But, I mean, Bernardo Silva, the man who just had the season of his life, is an incredibly gifted player. Just moved to Man City for £45 million. That man has more technique in his pinky toe than Andre Gomez has in his entire body. And he decides to play Andre Gomez for the full 90 minutes instead of Bernardo Silva. And I mean, we can talk about this all day long, but I mean, that's all there is to be said. And it really just comes down to these guys don't know what they're doing. And I could go point to so many examples, but the best one has to be this. And it's like Moussa Sissoko playing ahead of Thomas Lemar, Ousmane Dembélé, and Kylian Mbappe for France. What are these guys doing? It's like Dunga back in the day not calling up Neymar so he can call up whoever, an aging Robinho. It's just like, Tomas, I don't want to get too passionate about it because I could go on for an hour about these international managers. Just please, God, let Bernardo Silva play instead of, if I have to watch another Portugal game with Andre Gomes on the field, I'm turning it off. That's the end of it for me. So I'll calm down a bit. That's what we've got. Stoppage time is over. The final whistle has sounded. That's all we have time for. I hope you enjoyed. Catch us next time on episode 2, where hopefully I'll be coming off the back of seeing a Bernardo Silva masterclass instead of Andre Gomez donkeying around the pitch for 90 minutes. So let's pray for that. Thanks so much for listening. Give us a follow on Twitter and SoundCloud at EIF Soccer. Give us a like on Facebook at Everything Is Football. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, EIF Soccer. And check us out next time. Me mistook. I'm sick of playing it by the books. I think we should get a room. Yourself and your shoes ain't off the shelves. You straight out of magazine. Feel things I ain't ever felt. Yeah.